Surprise, we decided to do a podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. Phil Bush and Joe McCann here. We were a little bored, so we decided we should talk about some Marquette hoops, Phil.
Yeah, there is nothing going on right now, so I figured we'd just sit around on our computers and talk to each other.
Yeah, there was been enough news in the Marquette basketball world recently to at least touch on it on a short podcast. Might be a pretty brief one here today, but I did want to mention a couple other things in the Marquette athletics world before we moved on, just to mention them briefly. First, shout out to the Marquette lacrosse team. Back-to-back
Big East
champions.
Yes, back-to-back.
A little bit more of a surprise this year than last year, because I think they were the 4 seed in the Big East tournament and made a great run all the way and won the whole thing. So they're back in it. They will be taking on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame on Sunday, I believe. So be sure to tune in if you can.
Notre Dame sucks.
Yeah. They do. Too bad the game's not going to be on NBC, because the Irish always lose on NBC. But be sure to check in and check out Marquette and see if they can advance in the NCAA tournament. It's been a great story and a great program. We might be a lacrosse school now, Phil, with all due respect to our basketball teams, but our lacrosse team is just doing so well. We might be a lacrosse school now.
I have zero problems with this. We've got the dome now, so why wouldn't we be a world power?
Yeah, and a brief shout-out, by the way, to the Marquette women, who added a 5-star transfer from Ohio State. I don't know if you saw that.
Yep, I did.
Toy McCoy, who was a McDonald's All-American at Ohio State, transferred in. So she'll have to sit out this year, but she'll be eligible when this dynamite sophomore class that Carolyn Keegar has is all seniors. So watch out for the Marquette women. They'll be good next year, but I think they could be great, like really, really good in 2018-19. I don't think there's a goal that is too high for that team, quite frankly, in 2018.
In 2018, has there ever been a women's and a men's program from the same school to win the national championship in the same year?
Yes, actually, Connecticut, twice.
Oh, that's true. Well, all right. So we'll be the first non-Connecticut school then.
I just ruined that whole thing for you. But, I think a few teams have both had in Final Fours, but the only team to win it has been Connecticut. But let's
sense
not get
tone,
that far ahead
Joe,
of ourselves.
Sense the tone.
I know. But hey, we're going to talk some Marquette basketball, of course. Let's talk about some recent additions, Phil. Since our last podcast, there haven't been any departures from the program. We knew Dwayne Wilson was leaving. We talked about that in our last show previously on Scrambled Eggs. But so we've had two additions since then. Greg Elliott's kind of old news now because it just happened really shortly after we posted that last podcast. So we got another guard in the mix. And we've kind of been talking about him for a few weeks, Phil. Really, the last few month or two of the season, he's kind of been on Marquette's radar. And, not necessarily a highly rated guy, maybe a late bloomer as far as the recruiting world goes. But all I know is that Wojo and Stan and company beat out Tom Izzo for a recruit in the state of Michigan. And so I think that's something to be excited about. They've certainly have a pretty impressive pipeline to the city of Detroit.
Yeah, well, I was going to say they seem to have the state of Michigan, at least the lower peninsula, kind of carved out for themselves. And anytime you can go head to head with Tom Izzo for a recruit, I don't care if it's like Izzo's 12th player. That's probably a good signal that you're recruiting some talent. He was a late bloomer. I think his recruitment becomes even more important given the Dwayne Wilson leaving for Texas AMU.
AMU.
AMU. I don't know what I was doing there. Yeah, Texas A&M. Okay, that's weird.
The AMU is on the Marquette campus.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly, that's what I was thinking about.
It's been a while, folks. We're a little rusty. We're just shaking the rust off. But
yeah,
But I certainly agree with you that Marquette did need a little depth in the backcourt. Losing Dwayne Wilson. Now, I don't know how much Elliott's going to play next year, but he would certainly be in the mix for playing time, depending on how he compares to a guy like Sakar, who's coming off his redshirt season. And I don't know, maybe even Jamal Cain could be in the mix for guard minutes, if Marquette's going with 3 guard sets, as you would think they probably would quite often next year. But it's a guy that Wojo was very high on, so the fact that they landed him, were able to keep him away from another Big East team in Providence who got him in for an official visit as well. So I'll never complain about backcourt depth.
No, it's good. We need plenty of it, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it really has. I don't know about Elliott's ability to play up to, say, the 3, but I really am curious as to how this roster gets, and we'll talk about it a little bit more with the in future years, but I'm curious to see how this roster gets utilized this coming season, because it almost seems like the ultimate switchables roster, right? This is, while there are no JUCOs, it seems like from a player composition standpoint that this roster is as close to a buzz roster as we've seen.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, you do have a lot of guys, especially between the two and the four. I mean, guys who are probably going to move around a little bit, maybe not all the way from two to four, but say, like, especially if Marquette's going in a lot of three-guard sets, you're going to see Cheatham playing probably the two and the three. Elliott, probably the two and three, maybe even some point guard possibly with him, probably not next year with the point guard, but that could be something in the future if Marquette does not land a point guard between now and 2018, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Sakar, I would imagine, is probably going to be he could be a guy who could play a two or a three or a undersized four. Hauser, probably a three and a four. Kane, two, three, four. But yeah, I think that's a good point, that there are some guys who are going to have to guard multiple positions, and that's kind of my concern for next year, Phil, because we kind of anticipated Marquette adding a grad transfer. That doesn't appear that's going to happen. I don't see Marquette really connected with anybody. That's not to say that they can't add someone in the weeks and months to come, but I haven't seen any reports of Marquette being connected to any grad transfers, anybody visiting Marquette for next year. So my concern, Phil, is did Marquette improve the defense for next year? And so that's going to be on the new faces. Will Sakar, is he a good defender? We'll find out.
We don't know.
Can any of the freshmen defend at a high level? Can Froehling defend? So if Marquette's defense is going to improve, it has to be on one of those new guys, because I don't think you're going to see a monumental leap in defensive ability from anyone that's returning. I mean, maybe they could all improve a little bit, but I don't think you're going to go from a 150th or whatever ranked defense to, you know, somewhere in the top 75 just based on how hard you work in the offseason. I think you need to add some talent and ability there. So my concern right now is if they address the glaring issue from last year, which was the ability to defend.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Now, you have to account for, there should be some development, right? Marcus Howard was, I believe he was 17 last year. I'm not really sure. But
can confirm.
We'll have to look for the internets on that. But I mean, Marcus Howard was young and inexperienced and played a lot of minutes. So hopefully, learning more and in the system and the offseason development and adding, you know, getting in Todd Smith's program full time to, you know, add agility and strength. You know, hopefully he gets better on the defensive end. You know, Sam Hauser showed abilities to play good defense, but again, he was also a freshman. So, you know, and Hanif struggled.
But you see what I'm saying? It's like, I don't think, no matter how much work you do,
right?
Everybody can improve a little bit. Like, no one's going to go from a guy who can't guard anybody to Jimmy Butler in an offseason. Like, you're just not going to have that monumental leap on an individual level improving as a defender. Maybe everybody can improve a little bit, but, you know, maybe it maybe is a solution just a totally defensive strategy.
That's what I was going to ask. Does the roster makeup, you know, we talked about ad nauseum with Fisher, that, you know, he just didn't have the agility, and Matt Helt seemed to be better defensively. Is Froehling closer to Helt in his capabilities than Fisher was in terms of the scheme they're playing? You know, is Theo John or Ike Eek, are they a better defender, you know, within the scheme than some of the other pieces we had? So I do wonder, it's twofold, player development, and you got to hope there's still going to be a lot of young players on this roster that will be playing quality minutes. So, you know, can those young players come in and play well defensively? And does the scheme change as a result of the roster makeup? I mean, did we see, we'll be able to tell relatively early, did we see last year's defensive scheme? Was that some sort of hybrid because of the roster we had? Or can we just not coach defense? I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said before, I think my expectations for next year's freshmen are kind of tempered, to be honest, you know, because we're not like we're bringing in an All-American or anything. And some of these guys might be good contributors, and they may be really good players down the line. But I'm just not sure there's going to be a freshman that is going to make a huge impact like Howard and Hauser did this past year. Although maybe I would have said the same thing about Hauser a year ago, and maybe even Howard too. So maybe one of these guys will surprise me. Just from some of the brief highlights and film I've seen of these guys, if I were to pick one guy, one incoming freshman, to make an early impact, I think Theo John looks like the most college-ready. I think he looks to have like the most college-ready body. I think he can be physical, and he seems like he could play a couple different positions, maybe a 3-4, and maybe even an undersized 5. So if I'm going to pick a freshman that could be an early contributor, John is probably going to be my pick.
I agree with that, especially given his position. Like, I think Jamal Cain will be a better – is to me, seems like an all-round player, is more – it's hard to say relatively speaking, but is more talented or is more capable than, say, a Theo John. But I think there's enough – talent in front of Kane that his minutes will not be as significant as someone like a Theo John. So I think Theo John, the combination of the position he's able to play and kind of what his talent looks to project as, I think he is definitely going to be the most likely to succeed.
Yeah. Now, the other addition we've had since our last podcast was maybe a little bit of a surprise just because of his, his scholarship situation and the position he plays. But Ed Morrow, not to be confused with Edward R. Murrow, he is a transfer coming in from Nebraska. He will sit one and play two. He certainly adds some rebounding to the team, so he will take the floor as a junior in the 2018-19 season. What did you make of the Morrow commitment, Phil?
Well, I kind of viewed Morrow. I'm excited about him. If you look at his plus 40 stats at Nebraska as a freshman, he projected out at 20 and 11, 20 points, 11 rebounds. I don't think that's what he's going to turn out to be at Marquette, but he's kind of the sheriff that we've been talking about for a number of years. He's rough down in the paint, will go get the tough boards, can get the tough points when you need them. So I think it's a quality add. I think where the concern comes in is given the roster makeup and how it's by starting next year becomes very heavy front court.
Right.
I honestly think, one, you go out and you get talent and you let the pieces fall where they may. But I think to a certain extent, it's a bit of a hedge against the youth that is Ike Eek, Theo John, Harry Froehling. I mean, basically, without Morrow, if you pass up on him, Wojo is saying, okay, these guys will certainly turn out to be the great players we hope them to be. I think Morrow gives you a bit of a bit more of a known quantity that you can count on should some of the other players not develop like you think.
Yeah, and Morrow, he's a 6'7 forward. Like you mentioned, he's a really good rebounder. And he's missed quite a bit of time the past couple seasons due to injuries. So maybe a redshirt season would serve him well. I mean, and just work on his body a little bit without taking too much of a pounding. And maybe come back completely healthy in 2018-19 and hopefully have two healthy seasons. But like you mentioned, Phil, and I think this is kind of where we kind of start touching on our next topic, and that's the 2018 class, is maybe, I don't know if concern is the right word, maybe a little angst that people have saying, yeah, well, there's going to be pretty power forward heavy, front court heavy, like you mentioned, going forward, because then in 18-19, you would have Theo John, Harry Froehling, Ike, Matt Helt, and Ed Morrow, and Sam Hauser, who's also played some power forward. So that's a pretty big team and a lot of guys in the front court. And then, of course, the big fish that Marquette is after in the 2018 class is, of course, Sam's brother, Joey, who is a power forward himself and a very good one, a 5-star player, and a guy who honestly could probably be in the mix for to be a McDonald's All-American. I mean, he's that highly rated. He's that highly thought of. So the way I look at it, Phil, this almost kind of protects Marquette, I guess, if they don't get Joey Hauser. I think there's still a lot of optimism within the program and the fan base that Joey Hauser will eventually commit to Marquette, but I think it is a little foolish to call him a lock to Marquette at this point, especially with, in recent interviews he's done, he said that Duke continues to check in even though they haven't offered yet. And, you always wonder if that Duke offer comes, that could change a lot for him. But there are still other plenty of really good schools recruiting Joey Hauser, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Purdue, and quite a few others, and there's only going to be more and more offers to come for him. So I just kind of look at it as like, you know, Marquette is not going to be lacking in the front court no matter what happens. If there are, if guys transfer, if they do get Hauser, Joey Hauser, if they don't get Joey Hauser, Marquette should have plenty of rebounding ready to go, you know, in the 2018-19 season.
Yeah, I mean, the Morrow thing, again, you acquire talent as well as you can, and Morrow was probably one of the, if not in the top five, was certainly one of the best talents available in the transfer market this season. So if he wants to come here and we've got a spot, let's take him. That leaves us one open spot. Hopefully it's Joey Hauser. Who knows? Maybe he hates Sam and doesn't want to play with him. You know, you never know, right? But again, you take the talent. If Joey Hauser wants to come here with the roster makeup and we have an open scholarship, we take him, right? And then you kind of let the pieces. I know there's, from a roster makeup, if let's assume for a minute that Joey Hauser comes here. And I think right. The other one you didn't mention, kind of front court player, would be Brendan Bailey, you know, who committed to a year and a half ago, is on his Mormon mission. You know, in theory, he would be on campus for the 28th season as a 20-year-old freshman. Again, you take the talent as it comes. I think the roster makeup is fine. I mean, I think Sam Hauser, actually, especially from an NBA perspective, but just from the roster makeup, Sam Hauser moves down to a 3 for sure. I don't think he really plays power forward in 2018. Unless there's something catastrophic. You would assume Sakar is going to be a 2 or a 3. Hanif's going to be a 2 or a 3. Greg Elliott's going to be a 2. Maybe he's a 1. He may be pressed. And if Joey Hauser's on the roster and Brendan Bailey comes, then that leads the big concern is Marcus Howard as the only point guard. Now,
right.
Marcus Howard is clearly awesome, but you know there are shades of concern going into a season with one legitimate point guard on the roster.
Right, because you're one injury away from having no point guard, and Marquette has been in that situation before. So, but yeah, and Marquette is after some other guards in the 18 class. Now they have like made contact with some big ones. Now I don't think they're getting these guys, but you know Quentin Grimes is a 5-star guard in Houston that Marquette visited earlier this spring. Now, he currently has offers from Kansas, Arizona, Duke, and Kentucky. So,
those are kind of small schools, though, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying Marquette's not getting Quentin Grimes, but I would just temper your expectations just a little bit when you're talking about a guy with offers like that. Kevon Moore is another big-time guard. He's from Georgia. I think they visited him as well. Again, he's another guy who maybe, well, I don't think he has an offer from Kentucky yet, but he's rated number 10 in the country. So the offer's coming. So, like, but I, like, when I look at these, some of these, like, big time guys that Marquette's after in the 2018 class, I kind of wonder, Phil, is, you know, because it kind of, on the surface, it almost kind of looks like Marquette's kind of going almost out of its league a little bit with some like a 5-star guard in Houston and a 5-star guard in Atlanta. I mean, that's kind of far out of like their comfort zone, but it's good to like try to get those guys. I kind of wonder, Phil, if they're going to these guys saying, not necessarily saying that Joey Hauser's a lock, but saying, hey, we're in good position with Joey Hauser. What would you think of the possibility of playing with a 5-star guy like Joey if he ends up committing? And we already have a guy who is essentially a 5-star talent, Marcus Howard. I wonder if that's kind of the pitch when they go to a guy like Quentin Grimes, who, like I said, he's got offers from all the blue blood programs. And I kind of wonder if that's part of the strategy is not that saying that Joey's a lock, but they are in as good a position as they could possibly be with him and maybe using that as a selling point to some of these, you know, other high-level recruits.
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of the pitch. I kind of view it, to be honest, as Wojo's kind of playing with house money, right? Like, so let's assume for a minute, again, that Joey Hauser is coming to Marquette, right? And if you get no other players to come, then you're comfortable with the roster, right? There's a lot to like there. Yes, you've got, you're an injury away from some significant concern at the point guard position. But that's a roster you can do some great things with. And I almost wonder if this is in a case of Wojo going, hey, let's swing for the fences. If we land one of these, you know, one of these in addition potentially to Joey Hauser, that would be amazing. And as a hedge, if Joey Hauser decides not to come here, if we can land one of these other big fish as a guard, well, you know, we've secured the front court. Maybe collectively it's not as talented without Joey, but it's not awful. And so they're kind of saying, let's take a swing. And if we can get Joey and one of these other big guards, you know, space has a way of finding an opening, right? I mean, they I have no doubt if Grimes commits and Joey commits, space will be found somewhere, somehow.
If Joey and Grimes commit, I will be doing backflips in my living room. But like I said,
right, I'm not calling that at all. I'm simply
saying. I know what you're saying. But you know, as far as guards go, the one guy that Marquette does seem to be in really good shape with is a guy named Jonathan Williams. He's a shooting guard from Rochester, New York. He said in an interview recently that Marquette told him he's their top priority for 2018. So take that for what it's worth. You know, he's a three-star guard, but a talented one, a guy that Marquette seems to really like a lot. So
there are a lot of guys to watch. More important than Joey Hauser.
I'm just repeating what he said to the Rivals reporter or whoever it was that got the quote.
Okay. I mean, that's great. It'd be very interesting.
I'm not calling him a liar. I'm just, that's what he said.
Okay. No, it's in print.
The coaches may have said that exactly. And they tell the kids what they want to hear, man. If you want to get them on campus and get them for a visit. But yeah, I agree. Ian, you know, the cliche is the things work themselves out, and they do. And you know, whether it's you know, the roster's full and you tell a kid, I'm not sure you know, we got a spot for you, and the kid transfers. Or, you know, when you have 12 guys on the roster, inevitably there will be a 12th guy who doesn't play nearly as much as he would like. And they'll just go to the coach and say, I think I want to go somewhere else. And the coaches will be like, all right, well, sorry it didn't work out, but good luck to you. We'll find a spot for you. So, you, like you said, you put together the best roster you possibly can, and then you figure out the rest. Because Wojo's job is to get as many good players as he possibly can, or else he's not going to have the best team he possibly can. And if that happens, then it might not be his team that much longer.
Right.
So you put together the best roster you possibly can. So that's why you get a guy like Morrow. That's a guy you know you have. And then so you get the commitment from him. You get him on campus, get him in the program. And then you go after the next one. The next one's Joey Hauser, a guy you've got. Like I said, if Marquette doesn't get Joey Hauser, it's not going to be because the coaching staff didn't try hard enough.
Right.
Because they have been at all of his games, high school and AAU. They have a great relationship with the family. I think they are in as good a position with Joey Hauser as they possibly can be. If they don't get him, it's just going to be because Joey got an offer he just couldn't say no to. Maybe was intrigued by going to a blue blood program if he gets an offer from one. And, yeah, you know, we'll just see how it goes. But
right. Well, as far as the roster in 2018, I guess one question I would ask you, because any of the chatter I've seen, the one concern that seems to keep coming up is the point guard position, like we talked about. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all concerned, 10 being Marquette playing Western Michigan in the NIT, how concerned are you? Let's pretend that open scholarship goes to, I don't know, somebody named Hoey Jowser. And the roster is as it is with no point guard added. How concerned are you in 2018?
I would say about a 5, because, like I said, you are an injury away, and Marcus Howard is not going to play 40 minutes a game, although he probably could do on some nights. But, yeah, you need another point guard. Now, I think I saw that Elliott could possibly be developed into a point guard, but that kind of makes me nervous, because it's more often that it goes the other way with guards, that you come to college as a point guard and realize maybe you're not a point for that level, and then you move off the ball. Then the other way is you come to college having been a two guard or your whole life and then learning, picking up more point guard skills. It normally goes the other way, that you move away from the ball, then you move to being the guy that handles it. So I would much prefer to have an experienced point guard. When I say experience, I mean at the high school level. A guy who can back up Howard, or, you know, hey, who knows, maybe even land a grad transfer. That's always a possibility as well. But yes, I would like to have two capable point guards on the roster if you're going to have a, you know, this super talent, this what looks to be, could be a really talented, experienced team in 18-19 that has plenty of talented front court players, looks like some good wing players, some good shooters. What could be Wojo's best team yet, I think. And it would be a shame if that talent did not have enough point guards to unlock its full potential. So, yeah, I'd put it at a 5 because injuries always happen. And again, there will be stretches of games where, you know, Marcus Howard just can't play, whether if he's a little dinged up or just needs a breather or foul trouble or whatever. So, yeah, you need more than one point guard. And so, yeah, that is a slight concern. That would be a slight concern for me going into 2018 if no point guard is added between now and then. It's kind of crazy. We're almost looking completely past 17-18 and talking about 18-19.
It is the off season. But, I mean, the one thing, I agree with everything you said. I think the thing I'm struggling, where I don't get concerned over the backup point guard position to a certain extent is that if something happens to Marcus Howard, like so he gets injured and he can't play for several weeks or whatever, right? The issue, while not having a true backup point guard would not be ideal, the issue is that we're losing a talent like Marcus Howard, who's not, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, yeah, regardless of position, you lose a talent like that, you're not going to be nearly as good.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're going to be worse no matter what. But,
you know, so yeah, no matter who you get as a point guard, he's not going to be likely, a Marcus Howard.
Yeah, I guess the counter to that would be if you have a backup point guard, the drop-off is bummer, not catastrophic.
Correct. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're maybe able to tread water versus...
Yeah, you can tread water with a backup point guard as opposed to the wheels completely coming off if you don't have a backup point
right.
guard.
Yep,
so
I agree.
That's kind of my thoughts
but
on it.
That, like you said, that those things have a way of working themselves out, so we'll see. I mean, I would, again, even with the open scholarship, I would argue that, you know, regardless of who takes that open slot, I feel comfortable saying the 2018 roster, as it currently comprised, will not be the 2018 roster on opening day of the season.
Yeah, there'll be some changes. I would be – Marquette is talking to so many talented kids in the 2018 class, I would be surprised if they only sign one.
Yep.
Yeah. So, even if it's not Joey Hauser. Like, see, if they lose out on Joey Hauser, I mean, they're talking to quite a few other forwards. Like, Race Thompson has been – pretty well connected to Marquette for quite a while. I was at an AAU tournament a few weeks ago here in Fort Worth, and Wojo and Nelson was also there. They watched all of Race Thompson's games as well as Hauser's and Quentin Grimes and some other guys. I think, you know, if they don't get Joey Hauser, who knows, they may surprise us and sign Joey Hauser and Race Thompson. Then they'll just be crazy with power forwards. But I mean, they're talking to plenty of talented guys in 2018. Like I said, I'd be surprised if they only signed one, just because they're connected to so many.
Well, and one other thing, not to go all four-dimensional chess here, but even you know, talking to the players, even if they don't have an intention of bringing them on, they're building relationships, because you never know when transfers may happen or spots open up or anything like that, where you want to build a relationship. Even if a player goes somewhere else, who knows when that relationship may come in handy. You don't, you know, when your roster is complete, you don't shut it down and refuse to take phone calls from people anymore. That's just not smart basketball in this day and age.
Caden Reinhart was an example. Wojo knew him from recruiting him at Duke.
Right.
Right. He recruited him a little bit, you know, before he committed to UNLV, and that relationship came around again later on. And
I think Ed Morrow knew Stan from Arizona State. I think that there was some recruiting connection there as well. So
did Marcus Howard.
Yep.
So never stop recruiting, build relationships. That's kind of how you do it. Hey, so we've talked a lot about recruiting, maybe more than I thought we would tonight. But one more thing I do want to touch on before we wrap up this little off-season podcast is the fun thing in the off-season. We talked about it quite a bit last year, and it's coming around again. The tournament, the basketball tournament, the TBT, you've probably seen a lot of us tweeting about it, maybe me, maybe a little too much. But if you're not familiar with this thing, it is a very fun open tournament to anyone who wants to play, and basically it's kind of turned into this thing that colleges put together alumni teams. Now, Marquette had a team last year. They got to the, I want to say, the Elite Eight last year.
Yes, it was the Elite Eight.
Yes, yeah, like, and so they won a few games, and so they put together an alumni team. It is back, and you can vote in it. And this thing, I enjoyed the heck out of this team last year. It is just a fun thing to watch in the middle of the summer if you're a basketball junkie. When, you know, baseball, although I love baseball, it's kind of in its dog days in June and July. And you can watch some players that you remember playing at Marquette kind of get together again. And I really enjoyed watching it last year, and I'm looking forward to this year.
Yeah, it was awesome. One of the things I really liked about it, I mean, it is to a certain extent a glorified pickup game. But even more so than things like the basketball event that they have in the summer, I'm blanking on the name of it, that all the schools in the area, like Marquette and Wisconsin.
The Pro-Am.
Yeah, the Pro-Am. Unlike the Pro-Am, which is it's all offense, no defense, everyone's kind of just screwing around. While it's a pickup game, these guys are, like, serious about it. Wesley Matthews' trash talk as the coach last season was the highlight for me, was as he just was, like, just saying stuff. He was mic'd up, and it's like, the purest form of fun basketball I can imagine. It was great, and you love being competitive.
And the reason it's competitive is because there's $2 million on the line. You're not winning.
Yeah.
You're not winning $2 million in the Pro-Am in Milwaukee. So if you're new to this thing, the winning team splits $2 million. And so for these guys who maybe have played in the D League, play in Europe, play overseas somewhere, you know, splitting $2 million can be a nice chunk of change for some of these guys. It could, for some of them, it may even be more than their annual salary playing basketball, depending where they've been playing. So that's why I think it gets a little competitive, especially towards the end when these guys can smell the money. And you mentioned Wes Matthews, so he's the coach. Now, as far as the tournament is concerned, anybody can play in this thing. But as you would expect, NBA players do not play in this thing, mostly because of probably contractual restrictions with their NBA teams. And even if there isn't a contractual restriction, it just doesn't make sense for a guy with an NBA contract to play in this thing and possibly turn an ankle or tear an ACL or something. It's just not worth the risk. But a lot of guys who are pros, whether it's, again, D League, overseas, you know, wherever they're playing, it's a fun chance for them, and maybe some of them even get on TV, and maybe a scout picks them up and gives them an invite to an NBA camp. At the time we're recording this, here's Marquette's current roster, all guys you have seen in Marquette uniforms in the last 10 years or so. Maurice Acker, Dwight Bikes, Darius Johnson-Odom, Jarrell McNeil, Trent Lockett, Juan Anderson, Trent Blackledge, and Devontae Gardner. So that's 8. Now, I've kind of skimmed the roster rules. From the way I understand it, you can have 9 players for free. And so Marquette could add one more. Now, here are some guys who played in this thing last year who were not yet officially on this year's roster. Jamil Wilson, Derek Wilson, Joe Chapman, Marcus Jackson, and Dwight Burke, and I think Matt Carlino practiced with the team but was never officially on the roster last year. So it could be any one of those guys, or there could be somebody else that I didn't mention who could be added to the roster. So looking at the little Marquette's roster, I think it's a good roster so far, Phil. If you were to add maybe one or two more, what would you want to add to Marquette's Golden Eagles alumni is the name of the thing.
Right. I would add Marcus Jackson, mostly because he goes to the same gym I do, and I see him all the time, and the dude is yoked. So he would be a great add in the front.
Add a little
court.
Muscle.
Yeah, get a little physical down there. Devontae will do that, but I think you need somebody kind of wrangling things down there, and I think they definitely need front court. They've got the opposite problem of the current Marquette roster is guard heavy and need some front court. So that's where I would add.
I kind of like to see Jamil Wilson added just because he's a high-level athlete. He's kind of a fringe NBA player. He's been in the D League. I think he played overseas last year. But, you know, he's big. I mean, Jamil's, what, probably 6'8", 6'9"? So, for this thing's purposes, he could play in the middle if he needed to. But I'm looking at the roster and, again, skimming the rules. You can have up to 15 players. But after 9, you have to start paying. So if you add, and I guess the team has to put up the money, but you know, if you want to add guys before the thing starts, if you want to add a 10th player, it's $1,000. Or if you, the price to add guys gets more expensive as you go on. So if you, like, say, add a guy just before the championships, it's $6,000. So I'm kind of imagining like being in the room, like all the guys in the room talking about adding players and say, I don't know, do we want to spend $1,000, $2,000 to add a couple more players? And everyone kind of slowly, awkwardly turns to Wes Matthews, the one guy in the room with a NBA salary. So Wes, you know anybody who, you know, give us a couple $1,000s? Or
do you know anyone that could fund this enterprise?
Again, I don't know. Again, I'm a
better call.
They
Saul.
Have boosters. Yeah, they have boosters for this thing, and
Novak is a booster.
Steve Novak is as well, as is Wes. So, you know, if price is not an issue, I would love to see them add quite a few guys. I mean, Jamil Wilson, I would love to add. Again, Marcus Jackson would be cool to add, just to have a little more size in the middle. Joe Chapman played really well in this thing last year.
Yes, he did.
Speaking of guys who were yoked, I mean, Joe Chapman, not only was he big, but he shot the ball so well last year.
I never remembered him being that good a shooter in college, like at all.
Guys improve after they leave college, man. Dwight Bikes is a prime example. I would say, as this roster is now, Dwight Bikes is the best player on the roster right now. Like, he may not have been the best player at Marquette, but wouldn't you agree that of these guys listed, like, Dwight Bikes is Marquette's best non-NBA pro?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. He like, I thought it was going to be like, he's vintage, same time frame as Jarrell, and I thought Jarrell McNeil would have been the guy we were talking about, but it's definitely Bikes.
Yeah, he's been really good. He played well in this thing last year. You know, I started jotting down some guys that they could potentially add. Marquette almost has enough guys that they could have two teams.
Yeah.
Like, not, well, that, they, not I, that you would endure.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was kidding. Not that you would endorse doing that, but like, just think of some guys. Vander Blue, who was just named the NBA, the D-League MVP. That's not an award you want to win twice. I hope Vander plays overseas or gets an NBA contract next year. But I don't know what his availability or interest would be, but I would love to see Vander Blue on this team.
Regardless of position and roster composition, Vander Blue is the one I most want to see on this team, just because.
Absolutely.
Like, he I feel like he is the most competitive of everyone you're going to see.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And then Chris Otule, who I guess is playing in France right now, he came across my timeline on Twitter a few weeks ago, I want to say. Like, I forget, somebody, might have been the Marquette account official, like, or it might have been Anonymous Eagle that retweeted it, that Otule, I mean, he's still playing professionally. So there, you want size, there's another one for you.
Dr. Otule, as we know him as. Yeah.
Dominique James, I don't know what he's been doing lately. Last check, he was playing professionally, like in Qatar or somewhere.
I knew, he had some sort of balloon business. I'm not making that up.
That's true, but that was way back. That's going back like 4 or 5 years. I don't know if he's still doing that, but he was playing in Qatar recently, as like 2 or 3 years ago. So Dominique James, Lazar Hayward, who was in the D League a couple years ago, Junior Cadogan. He just had a birthday recently. Happy birthday, Junior. He's still playing professionally in Canada. David Kubian, we saw him playing for Team Venezuela against Team USA in the Olympic trials last year, if you remember that.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's still playing professionally. I don't know if any of the recently graduated seniors would want to play, but certainly Luke, Jawan, and Caton would be welcome to join the squad, I would think, if they want to sign up. And, hey, maybe Wally Ellenson wants to play. Who knows? He's a Marquette graduate as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
actually, the name I'll throw out there, I don't know if he's still playing basketball, Usman Baro.
Boy, that's going way back. Gosh, yeah. The thing is, I don't know if he's playing or not, but maybe so. But my point is, Marquette has enough guys for two teams, but if they also have enough to have a loaded 15-team roster if they want to spend that much money and add that many people. And I think it's important for this TBT thing to have a lot of guys, because as we saw last year, inevitably some of these guys are going to get pro tryouts or playing in the NBA Summer League, and they may not be able to make it. Like, Jamil missed the first couple games last year. Gardner missed a couple games because he had a pro tryout. So I'm interested to see how many guys they add, and I hope it's enough, because Marquette is a good team and they could certainly win this thing, which would be a lot of fun.
Well, and I've also heard rumor that the team, as able, will show up on Marquette's campus a couple of days early to kind of get used to each other.
Mm-hmm. They did that last year. I remember the Marquette coaching staff was working them out before the tournament started last year. Like, Marquette was really into this thing. And give credit to Dan Fitzgerald. He did a nice job kind of organizing this thing and kind of recruiting these guys and getting them to sign up. And he's got the roster going. Again, I would expect at least one more player would be added in the next few weeks before the June 1st deadline. And then who knows, again, if it's up to them if they want to spend money to add more players, but we'll see what they do. By the way, we'll include a link to where you can vote if you haven't voted for this thing, because this is one thing I didn't mention earlier. If you're new to this thing, you have to vote your team into this tournament because there are so many teams that are trying to play. Marquette is in pretty good shape. They're number two in the Midwest in votes right now, but as we saw last year, there's like a flurry of voting just before the deadline to get in, and Marquette was in good shape last year, and they just barely got in. They were like one of the last teams in the Midwest to get enough votes to get in. So if you haven't voted, use an email account that maybe you don't use as much anymore, because you might get a little extra promotional emails from the tournament and whatnot. But vote early, vote often. We'll include a link. Be sure to click over there and vote for Marquette. Make sure they get in the tournament, because I assure you, if you didn't see it last year, it is a lot of fun to watch, just because it's a little nostalgia seeing guys that you played, seeing guys that played maybe when you were in college or shortly after college when you were, you know, still following Marquette basketball. So I cheer for these guys. It would be awesome to see them split $2 million. And hey, by the way, if you recruit other fans, you could get a share of that $2 million. Because like the top vote getter, the top fan recruiter, I guess, whatever, if you get enough people to vote, you get like $20,000.
Yeah, it's not nothing.
Yeah, so
if you have student loans to pay off from, say, a fine institution like Marquette, it's a good way to take care of that.
To put a little dent in that. So again, click and vote on the tournament. Get your Marquette fix in the summer.
And they did broadcast a fair amount of the games. The early games especially were all streamed, and which was fine, wasn't bad. But they did broadcast a fair amount of the advanced games, like I think the Sweet 16 and beyond, on ESPN.
And ESPN has picked up a lot more for this year. I think every game is going to be at least on the Watch ESPN app. And I think once they get down to the Sweet 16 and beyond, it's all going to be on ESPN or ESPN2.
So get Marquette in here, get some promo, and see some kind of legends or players from our past come back to play well.
Continuing to celebrate 100 years of Marquette basketball.
Correct. And hey, maybe we can win some hardware.
Yeah, and maybe we can win some cash, too, if you're one of the top fan vote getters. All right, I think that's enough TBT talk for one day. Again, we'll include a link when we post the podcast. As always, we thank you for listening here on Scrambled Eggs. You can always hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann3. Phil is MOOF23. On Twitter, you can hit us up on the team handle at Crack Sidewalks. We have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. You can rate us and review us on iTunes. And head to cracksidewalks.com. That's where we'll post a link where you can vote in the TBT. And also, you can leave your comments and tell us what you think of us, but please be nice. Hey, Phil, I don't know when we're going to do another one, but if there's any breaking news, that's kind of our thing in the summer. If there's breaking news, roster additions, roster changes, that's kind of when we'll check in. But who knows, we may not do another podcast. Maybe until the TBT gets going, we might talk about it a little bit more then once that thing gets going.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for the bat signal. But until then, enjoy this podcast and vote often in the TBT.
And recruit your friends. You could win money. Until then, seashells and balloons, everyone.